off.
Good morning, Your Honors. The first issue, there were two issues. One dealt with the question that the jury asked, and the second dealt with the adjournment of the fact that the court allowed a second amended information, which the I'll deal with the second one first. The court allowed a second amended information on the basis that this Holly Peterson pled guilty, and then the assistant district, the assistant DA, one day before the trial said, I just want to renumber it, take the counts against her out. But what he did was actually expand the charging period from January to June to January to September, and he did it, and they admit this specifically to allow in the testimony of Holly Peterson, who said there were deliveries in September. And there were no objections by the attorneys. And what happened was that the court then allowed in the testimony of these times in July deliveries and September deliveries that wouldn't have been allowed if the charging period were not expanded. And it did prejudice the defendant because without that expanded time, a lot of the evidence against him would not have been admitted, and particularly that amount, which became an issue in the first issue. The first issue was that the jury asked the question as to do we can't agree on the amount. So instead of telling the jury that if you can't find 100 grams, you should go down to the next category, which was over 40 grams. The judge said, find the exact amount or find the amount. But, you know, if they couldn't agree on 100, and there was a lot of evidence as to they took this cocaine then, they took that cocaine then, it would have been just about impossible for the jury to find an amount. And then in less than an hour, the juror who was objecting or couldn't be persuaded kind of gave up. And it's my point that the judge, instead of doing what the jury's instructions recommended, was it's just like in a theft case. If you can't find, he took $10,000, then did he find $5,000? The judge said find the exact amount. The jurors, they gave up because they couldn't find, they found him guilty and of a lesser. And if the judge had given the proper instruction, if you can't find more than 100 or 100, then go to the next issue, which was 40. They would have maybe found 40, and then he would have faced a lesser sentence. And going back to the first time, the first issue I discussed was, I just want to make this one more point, is that if they never addressed the fact that this assistant district attorney, he outright lied to the court. He said, I'm just going to change the numbers, and he changed the charging period. And my point was is that he never asked for an adjournment, and he never asked for permission to do that. And if he shows up and the attorneys object, this judge would have told him, you can't change it, you have to go ahead on the old complaint, and a lot of the evidence against my client would not have been admitted. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Meyerhoff. Ms. Moeller?
May it please the Court, I am Assistant Attorney General Marguerite Moeller, appearing on behalf of the State of Wisconsin. I'd like to use my time to dispel the notion that there was any hint of misconduct on the part of the prosecutor in coming in on the morning of trial and amending the information for the second time. I think what has been lost in my opponent's presentation is the fact that not only was the charging period enlarged by 3 months, the second amended information consolidated what had been 6 felony counts against Lawrence Northern and his 3 co-defendants into 1 felony count. Instead of charging 1 felony for each of the months January through June of 2001, the second amended information combined all of those counts into 1 charge and expanded the charging period from the end of June till the end of September, which obviously all of the defense attorneys realized was a great quid pro quo for their clients because it cut their maximum exposure, both financially and in terms of potential imprisonment, by 80%, 255 years.
Well,
and that probably
yes, but 255 years cut down to how many years?
Let's see. What's
well, 80% would be 200. That'd be down to about 50 years.
That's about.
So that's how old is this Northern?
I don't know how old Mr. Northern is.
But 50 years is a pretty stiff.
It's still a stiff sentence. But there was no objection on the part of any of these attorneys. And
is there parole in Wisconsin? You have a 50-year sentence. Can
there's extended. Yes, you're released on what's called extended supervision. We used to call it parole, but I think since 1999, now it's called extended supervision.
So when might he hope to get out if he were a well-behaved prisoner?
I'd have to go back and calculate what his sentences were, and I don't know whether these sentences are the only ones that he's currently confined under. I'm not sure.
Is there some general, used to be 50% or something?
Under the new system, it's different. When you get sentenced, you're given what they call a bifurcated sentence. The first portion is confinement, and the second portion is the supervision. So it's not the same framework that you're thinking of. But one of the misconceptions, I think, in Northern's argument is that had there been an objection, that the trial judge would have required the state to go to trial on the first amended information with the shorter charging period. The Wisconsin Court of Appeals described that as being purely speculative, that there was no facts to support that because just the day before, when the district attorney first discovered that Holly Peterson was willing to plead into the charges against her, they offered the defense the option of postponing the trial for another month to allow them to deal with this new testimony. And there's no reason why the court would not have been willing to do the same thing for the prosecutor, knowing that he had decided to simplify the case by dropping all these charges against the four co-defendants and simply enlarging the charging period for the one remaining consolidated charge. So there's a fallacy underlying the theory that the state would have been required to go to trial on the first amended information. And finally, even had that come to pass and the state would have been required to proceed that day on the first amended information, the testimony of Sherry Mitchell was sufficient to convict Northern on this one count, so there's no reason to believe that he would have been acquitted on all six of the charges for January through June, even had the state been required to proceed. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Ms. Mueller. Mr. Meyerhoff, how much time does he have? 1 minute.
When the day before the defendants were given the option to have an adjournment because this new person was going to now testify against them. But then when the state never asked for an adjournment, and the state surreptitiously changed this complaint without ever asking permission, came in the next day ready for trial, never asking for an adjournment. And I think it's very reasonable that if an attorney objects, a defense attorney, the judge would have just said, no, you didn't ask that it be amended this way. You never asked for an adjournment. We're going on the old complaint that everybody had for 8 months, and we're going to trial today. That's not unreasonable at all. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Meyer. And you were appointed, were you not?
Yes.
So we thank you for your efforts on behalf of your client. Last case.